lights to give you praise, and so do I. So as the sunlight meets open fields and city streets, my song will rise. So wake me up.
Hello again, this is Brayden and Tally Waller with the Voice of My Beloved podcast. And here we are at the end of our series here, looking at the Hallel Psalms. We're finishing up with Psalm 118 today. And I hope you all had a great Passover and maybe even sang through the Hallel Psalms and got to really connect there on a different level this year. Also wanted to mention that the CD that we've been working on is up for pre-sale on the website, which is on hayovel.com, and you have to go to the store there and then search down, and you'll see the new CD there, the Hallel CD that you can order, and you can get the streams of the Rupf mixes for your, you know, as you're celebrating unleavened bread here. So anyways, you can take a look at that online, but, yeah, we're going to be finishing up this, this teaching series here, and next week we're going to start on another series, and we're actually going to be, working through the love and purity message that Brayden and I have been sharing for several years on the road, over the past, you know, 4 or 5 years. And we're going to be breaking it up into a series of teachings. You know, we always had this hour allotment when we were on the road to share the love and purity message. And we were just always struggling to get it down to like an hour and a half or something. So now that we have this, you know, podcast thing, we can just go crazy and and just really, you know, go into great detail on everything. So anyways, I'm excited about that. So yeah, we're going to start here with verse 25 of Psalm 118.
Yes. So before I get jumping into the commentary on the verses here, I just want to say, you know, after doing this for the past couple months, it's been a great blessing to do this with you, Tally. And this is actually like our little date opportunity.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, children and podcasts don't really go well together, but Tally and I get a little bit of alone time just to come out here and
with all
these,
of you
working these podcasts. So that's been a blessing, and I look forward to continuing on and doing this together.
Yeah, and speaking of that, we actually just celebrated our 10th anniversary, our wedding anniversary. I think when we started this podcast, we were celebrating our betrothal anniversary. And now our wedding actually happened just a couple days before Passover. And so, yeah, it's an exciting mile marker.
I love Tally Waller. That phrase got used quite a bit because on the movie, you know, if something lands up on a movie, then, you know, people like to quote movies. And
right.
It was funny. We actually had a guy here on the base. He was a guy that was, you know, struggled a little bit. just he had autism. Yeah. And but he just across the yard, he just yelled that out. I love Tally Waller. Yeah. Tally had stepped out on the porch. And said,
we have a really good relationship. Yeah. It's really sweet.
That was funny. But I still like to just yell that everyone's out. I love Tally Waller.
Yeah. Thank you. You're
still
sweet.
Still love her. Our love is growing more and more.
Yep.
All right. So verse 25. Save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. So you most likely have heard the word Hosanna, you know, in praise songs. And so this is where, from this verse, we get that word Hoshiana in the Hebrew. So Hoshiana is the Hebrew word for Hosanna, and it means save, please. So Hosha is save, and then Na in Hebrew is please. So whenever you say Hosanna, Hoshiana, you're saying save, please. And this is what we see the crowds crying out in Matthew 21, verse 9. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out saying, Hosanna levin David, Hosanna to the son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. So it's amazing to me just considering that the crowd, for one, is very familiar with the Psalms. Mm-hmm. They're speaking forth the Psalms. You know, this part of the Psalm is blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And just the fact that this psalm has a great significance, and then I believe it's, you know, here they're welcoming him into the city, but again in the future there's going to be this cry, come, and blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And so the psalms have such a key role in welcoming in the Messiah. I believe as we sing the psalms, as we become familiar with the psalms, then we're equipped, just like this crowd was, to welcome in the Messiah, to welcome his presence into our lives, mm-hmm. but then in the fullness, to welcome him in actuality, to come and reign in the earth. Mm-hmm. And so one thing I want to point out here is that there's still prayer going on in this psalmist's life on a personal level. He's praying for God to prosper him. He's praying for him to save him, even though it appears as you're going through the psalm that he's already been saved. Mm-hmm. So you look back up, and, you know, he says, in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. Speaking of the nations that are around him. Mm-hmm. It seems like this, in the narrative of the story, it seems as this person has fought a battle, won a battle, and now he's coming up to the temple to offer thanks. Mm-hmm. And so here, the battle is won, but yet there's continued prayer. And I see a picture of that with Yeshua, how he won the battle. You know, he's just moments before going to the cross and laying down his life, paying the price, gaining the victory. But yet he still, we know, is sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he ever lives to make intercession. Mm-hmm. And so he's won the battle, yet he's still praying for victory. Mm-hmm. And so there's a great lesson for our lives. You know, when we submit to God and surrender our lives to him, yes, it's a great victory won, and we believe that, you know, he saved us and we're his. But then there's that continuing prayer, that continuing cry for blessing and prosperity in our lives, and something that we don't want to let up on. We want to continue to mm-hmm. ask God to save us, even after we've already been saved. You know, mm-hmm. save me. You know, Yeshua himself, he taught us to pray, lead me not into temptation, deliver me, save me from the hand of the enemy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we don't want to let up on that prayer for God to continue to save us and to deliver us from the enemy. Mm-hmm. And this psalm teaches us that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. You know, I think that it's something that is so amazing about our faith and the Bible, is just how it speaks into every situation. And, you know, and there's such a balance that it calls us to, that you can't just go, you know, swing one way or the other, and how it calls us, you know, it calls us to rest, right? Like the Bible calls us to rest in like the finished work of Messiah. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so good, you know, and I find myself, that's something I really need to get a hold of a lot of times, is mm-hmm. just the idea of just resting in the finished work of Messiah, and just resting in that he's won the victory. He's victorious, and I can rest in that, and I can be at peace in that. But then there's also a, you know, the word also calls us to contend for things and to take ground. It's not a, you know, our faith isn't one that says, you know, just kick back, watch the TV, and, you know, I'm God up here, I'll get all things figured out. You just go check out. No, like there's also a call to engage and to contend for things and to take ground. And so you can see that, you know, in this cry that, yes, you know, I know I can be confident in what Messiah has done, but I also need to contend and realize that the enemy is going around as a lion and to steal, kill, and destroy. And I don't want to give any ground to the enemy. And what's the verse about the violent take it?
Yeah, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force.
Yeah, there's like almost this,
spiritual
aggression. Yeah, yeah.
Continuing to press in, contend for God's fullness in your life.
Yeah. Now, how you do that and also rest is what it's not an opposing thing. It's just a way, it's a balance that we need to find, mm-hmm. And not strive in our own strength, but allow Yeshua in us, to do the contending and to do that, you know, the fighting, I guess.
That's good. Moving on to verse 26, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. In Matthew 23, this is after Yeshua has come into the city and they proclaim this psalm. It's interesting. We see in Matthew 23, verse 39, for I say to you, you shall see me no more till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And it appears here that this is he's speaking to Jerusalem. He's saying, not until Jerusalem fully welcomes him is he going to come. And so here again, just the significance of Psalm 118 being used as the trumpeting call to welcome in the Messiah. And we believe that's going to happen one day, that Jerusalem is going to welcome him in. Mm-hmm. They're going to pray Psalm 118. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a glorious day. And that's when he's going to return.
Mm-hmm. So, we'll bless you from the house of the Lord. Like, it's going to come from Jerusalem.
Right.
That blessing.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So also we have Zechariah 14, verse 3. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. And in that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west. And then we have 1 Thessalonians 4:16, speaking of this day when he comes. He's going to come and answer to this cry. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. It says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. They say this is the loudest verse in the Bible. there's a lot of noise in this voice. Yep. In this verse, and the dead in Christ will rise first. So this is the day we're longing for, the day of his appearing. Mm-hmm. And I just love the verse. It says, for all those who love his appearing, he has the crown of righteousness prepared. And so just pray that for all of you listeners out there, that you will just grow in your love mm-hmm. for his appearing, that you will desire that just mm-hmm. day after day, that will grow, that desire will grow. You long to see him. Mm-hmm. Verse 27, God is the Lord, and he has given us light. One thing we see here is the generosity of God. You know, he gives us light, and then the following verse, we see him calling us to yield our lives as a living sacrifice. So the giving that we do is really only birthed out of the giving that God has already done in it for us. You know, mm-hmm. he gives us light. He gives us his joy and all of his blessings, and then we, in response to his gift, we say, yes, I want to give myself to you. I want to lay my life on the altar.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, and I love this declaration too, because, you know, just a couple verses before, it's praying, the psalmist is praying for prosperity and saying, oh Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. And then, you know, just a couple verses later, he's saying he's given us light. And so it's this, it's that kind of crying out for more, but also realizing, wow, he's given us so much too. You know, it's that kind of just recognizing. And I love this psalm is such a complex psalm, I feel like, because there's so many, it's such a psalm of praise, but then it also recognizes the battle and it recognizes the journey. And you can see this whole psalm is just like a up and down kind of like crying out, God save me. And then he saves me. Like, it's like this, this declaration. It's not like it's all, you know, it's not all cushy and, you know, easy. Mm-hmm. But there's this contending and there's this answer and there's this continual like back and forth with that, which is really neat to see.
Yes. Speaking of God giving us light, I love this verse in 2 Corinthians 4:6. We have a little song to it. It goes, for it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Yeshua Messiah. In the face of Yeshua Messiah. So this verse beautifully shows us how the light of God's glory comes through the face of Yeshua. Mm-hmm. We see the face of Yeshua. We see the light of the glory of God. Mm-hmm. Just love that.
Yeah.
Then moving on, bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. And a few ideas about what this means. Is it trying to keep the sacrifice on the altar, like binding it down? We don't really have any references to that in the scriptures. Or one idea is that people are bringing sacrifices to the altar and then tying the animal to the cord with cords to the horn of the altar. Like it's a place to just tie the animal before you sacrifice it. So a few ideas on what this actually means, to bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. Mm-hmm. One thing we see with Genesis 22, verse 9, is the picture of Isaac. and what Abraham actually does with Isaac. It says, then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. So here we see this binding of Isaac, and he's placed upon the altar. Like, he can't move. He's bound and put in this altar. And we believe that, you know, historically, Isaac would have been a grown man by this time. He could have resisted, but he just willingly allowed himself to be bound and placed on the altar. Mm-hmm. And this is such a picture of Yeshua, who willingly gave himself to be bound. You know, he's bound by the Romans. He's led away. And this is a picture for us to also yield ourselves, to willingly give ourselves to the altar. Mm-hmm. And first, actually 2 Corinthians 5:14, for the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. So just as Messiah gave us an example of how to live, he laid down his life, and as this verse says, that we should no longer live for ourselves, mm-hmm. but live for him who died and then rose again. Mm-hmm. So just as he yielded himself to the altar, and he allowed himself to be bound to the horns of the altar, mm-hmm. we also yield our lives to the altar. And the altar is really a place of joy. You know, it's a little bit counterintuitive. You'd think, oh man, there's pain at the altar. You know, the sacrifice at the altar, we think pain. But we see in the scriptures in Psalm 43, verse 4, David says, then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. He connects in one verse this idea of going to the altar of sacrifice to God being his exceeding joy. And I believe that's the truth, is that when we yield our lives, when we totally surrender ourselves to the altar, mm-hmm. that's where we find exceeding joy in God. Mm-hmm. There's no holding back. I'm just totally given over to the purposes of God for my life, and that's where he fills us with joy abundant.
Right.
It's a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. And one reason, you know, why you'd want to bind the sacrifice is because in our flesh, we don't want to be at the altar. You know, our flesh right. wants to get away. You know, we have long delays in our lives. We have temptations, the temptation of wealth, rank, discouragement, skepticism. All these things tend to drive us from the altar. They're these weeds that grow up, the cares of this life. You know, that mm-hmm. these things want to pull us away from surrendering our lives. So there's this place of binding ourselves to the altar, bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. In this place of surrender, it's this place of wanting to say, yes, Lord, you know, in this moment of great zeal, I'm yours, and I want to make this commitment strong because I'm going to bind myself to this altar. I don't want, in a moment of weakness, I don't want to be able to get away from the altar. Right, I want to be, I want to be submitted to you all the way. And so just, you know, take that cord and just like, yes, I'm yours, and I'm going to lay down my life for your glory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a good place to be.
Yes.
Yes. Fully submitted.
Yes.
Braden, I think, wrote this. He wrote this little, was a little poem when we were, betrothed, and he was talking about how he wanted to get submitted sheep syndrome. Yeah. You remember that? Uh-huh. Yeah. It was a really cute little poem, but yeah, that's what our, you know, our heart's cry is like, God, please, give us submitted hearts, you know, that we would lay down, that we would lay it all down to find the freedom that there is mm. in that. Michael Card has a song about that, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's but yeah, just being able to give up everything in order to gain everything, you know.
Yeah. So. The song Michael Card wrote is that we can't imagine the freedom we find.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah.
From the things that we leave behind.
Yeah. There's so much freedom that we find just from laying aside those distractions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good.
A little song that came to me as we were on the road a couple years ago. I'll just sing it here for y'all. Goes, I'm finding joy at the altar in laying down my life. And there is peace at the altar where there is no flesh to fight. For I reckon myself dead indeed to sin. And alive to God, I'm free now. And my heart will live for him. So may you also find joy at the altar mm-hmm. in giving your life totally to God. When you mm-hmm. give yourself, as Romans 12 says, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable before God, mm-hmm. When you give yourself to God, you know, you may be struggling with your flesh, the temptations of the flesh. When you lay down your life totally on the altar, there's no flesh to fight.
Yep.
You reckon yourself dead indeed to sin, just as Messiah died, you died, and your flesh is the carnal nature, the carnal desires that you have are put to death at the altar. So I just encourage those out there listening, lay down your life, give yourself totally to that altar, and you'll find the greatest joy imaginable. You'll find God, as Psalm 43 says, you'll find that God is your exceeding joy. Verse 28, you are my God, I will praise you. You are my God, I will exalt you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Beginning and ending of this psalm, give thanks to the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. We'll always have reason to give him thanks, because his mercy is new every day. They actually quote this psalm in Ezra 3:10, when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests stood in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, to praise the Lord according to the ordinance of David, king of Israel. So here with Ezra, the exiles have returned, and they're dedicating the temple, and they have this ordinance of David. They're doing this worship in accordance with the way that David had instructed them. And it says in verse 11, and they sang responsively, praising and giving thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever toward Israel. They have a little difference here at the end. They're giving thanks because his mercy endures forever toward Israel. But there in the beginning, it's quoting, you know, it's this psalm here, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And I want to also look at a verse, just looking at this responsive singing and how this shows up in other places in the word as well. We have in Isaiah 6, verse 3, and one cried to another. This is the seraphim. Isaiah has a vision of the heavenly worship, and he sees these seraphim, and there it says of them that one cried to another and said, holy, 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 kadosh, kadosh, kadosh is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. So even in heaven, there's this responsive singing. They're crying to each other. It's almost like the one seraphim cries, holy, and the other one says, holy. There's this back and forth. And we have songs like that today that follow that pattern, like, hail, hail, line of Judah.
Hail, hail, line of Judah.
How wonderful you are.
How wonderful you are.
So we have that, you know, in songs today, but this responsive singing is something that goes on in heaven. And here in Ezra, where they're singing Psalm 118, it says that they sang responsively. And it seems like this is something that David ordained. It seems that David had a supernatural revelation of how worship went on in heaven. You know, we get that from different psalms. You know, he seems to have this really keen awareness of the worship going on in heaven. And so he wrote down somewhere, you know, about this responsive singing. Maybe he saw the seraphim that Isaiah saw, you know, of, you know, one crying to the other one. It says, you know what? We want to have the worship on the earth like it is in heaven. So we'll have responsive singing. So I just, you know, take that for how you can apply it in your own worship of God with your children. You know, you can sing a line of the Psalms and then have your children just sing it back, you know, responsively sing it. And this is a part of the worship that is going on in heaven and something that David had a awareness of. So may you all be blessed as you continue to meditate in the Psalms and grow in your closeness to God. Just pray many blessings on all of you in your pursuit of God. And I pray that these Hallel Psalms have been a strengthening of your spirit, have been a strength to your spirit and a strength to your walk with God. And they're so rich, so much, so much in them. And it's been enjoyable just to study this. And thank you. Thank you again, Tally, for doing this with me.
Yep. We're gonna sign off, and I'm going to play Psalm 118, the Hebrew version, that is pretty upbeat. And so I'm going to finish out this podcast here with that. But blessings to you all. And yeah, we look forward to moving on to the next series. And yeah, have a great rest of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. All right. So this is Braden and Tally reminding you to listen to the voice of your beloved. There is freedom in his voice, and we were meant to be free.
Hodu Lahashem ki tov, ki leholam chasdo, Yomana Yisrael, ki leholam chasdo, Yomru na veitaharon, ki leholam chasdo, Yomru na yirei Hashem, ki leholam chasdo. Min ha-metzah karatiya, anani va-merhavya, Hashem li lo hiram, ma yaseh li adam, Hashem li be'ozray, v'ani ere v'sonai, Tov lachasot b'Hashem, miptoach b'adam, Tov lachasot b'Hashem, miptoach b'indivim. Goyim svabuni b'shem Hashem ki amilam, Sabuni gam svabuni b'shem Hashem ki amilam, Sabuni chidvohim, doachu keyesh kotzim,